Hello everyone, I'm Alan Ashton and you're tuned in to Organ First Radio. It's nice to have your company. Greetings once again to another edition of Organ First Radio. Thank you for all your emails, letters and comments. Always nice to receive those. Well, the aim is, as ever, to try and give you a mixed bag of items, and later in today's show I'll be talking to an organist who I saw take some tentative steps on the organ world ladder more than 20 years ago. For starters, though a contradiction in terms, finds us listening to Symphony for a Goodbye, played by Graham Wright on Farfisa. Symphony for a Goodbye, played by the former demonstrator for Farfisa organs in this country, Graham Wright, now living in happy retirement in Cornwall with his wife Claire. Or maybe one of these days I'll get him to talk about his many years playing in Murray's Club in London, and perhaps dig into the archives and pull out one of his recordings on theatre organ. Autumn, being the third season of the year, is generally thought to cover August, September and October, but in astronomical terms the official period is around September the 22nd till the winter solstice around December the 21st. Whatever you choose to accept, I thought it would be a perfect opportunity to include Trevor Bolshaw playing the Wurlitzer that was originally built for the Marlborough Cinema in London, but eventually ended up by being installed in the home of Mr. Alan Hickling in Dormston House in Sedgley, where Trevor recorded it some many years ago. Here's the delightfully appropriate Autumn Crocus, one of many compositions by that celebrated pianist Billy Mayle. Autumn Crocus, composed back in 1932 by Billy Mayle and played there by Trevor Bolshaw, one of 18 tracks featuring three organs on his latest CD titled Contrasts. A couple of months back, Trevor was one of several organists who played what is hoped to be the first of many public awareness fundraising concerts at the Congregational Church in the village of Beer in Devon. The church holds the distinction of owning the very first Wurlitzer to come to these shores, and originally installed in the Picture House in Walsall in the Midlands. In the 50s it was purchased by the church and installed therein, minus all the toy counter effects, because at the time they were considered not to be useful for the accompaniment of hymns. Nowadays, with more liberal and open-minded thoughts on what can be played in churches, the owners are keen to replace as many of the drums, cymbals, whistles and associated silent movie effects back onto the Wurlitzer. Additionally, plans are going ahead to do some much-needed repair work. Well, I always like to play long shots, so if any organ owners or builders have any toy counter effects or mechanisms they no longer have a use for, then Church Secretary Cynthia Dommett would be delighted to hear from you on 01297 21824. 01297 21824. And you can also see the historic little beer Wurlitzer organ being played by going to www.keyboardnews.com.
Hi, this is Mike Hall, and you're in tune with Organ First Radio.
Last month I should have included a recording together with birthday greetings to one of the last remaining lady theatre organists in the United Kingdom. It's been widely reported, so I'm not acting in an ungentlemanly way by saying that Doreen Chadwick celebrated her 90th birthday. When I lived in the Manchester area, I would from time to time call round to her home, where she and her husband Len always made me most welcome, and between us we'd put the organ world to rights, so to speak. So, belated birthday congratulations to Doreen, and let's have a listen to her right now as she plays the Spanish Dance Opus 12 by Moskowski on the organ in Ossett Town Hall. Spanish Dance Opus 12 by Moskowski, played by Doreen Chadwick on the Ossett Town Hall organ up there in Yorkshire. And again, belated happy birthday to Doreen Chadwick, 90 years of age in August. Remaining with popular classics theme, next here's David Ingley, an organist celebrating a milestone in his playing career. And so, after we've heard him play Grieg's Norwegian Dance on Technics GA3, I'll be talking to him. Thank you. The Norwegian Dance by Grieg, played on the Technics GA3 by David Ingley, who I met up with at one of the many successful festivals that he presents in conjunction with his parents, George and Diane, for the Association of Organ Enthusiasts at the Ramada Hotel, Bewdley, in the West Midlands. Well, I personally remember David being one of many up-and-coming youngsters who first began to come to the notice of a much wider audience in the pioneering organ festival days of the 80s. But with fewer youngsters these days showing an interest in organs, did he have any thoughts on the subject?
Well, the business is a little bit different now to when we came through, and certainly the festival scene is quite different. Years ago, a lot of the young players played organ, and we're keen to get to the organ festivals for experience and learn the craft and watch the professional organists. These days, the teaching passage seems to be very much keyboard orientated, and I think families in general seem very active, and the kids have a lot of hobbies, which means that maybe they don't get the chances to maybe do as much as we did within the organ world. Mm. It's just seen as another one of the hobbies, which is a little bit of a pity. Just a change, I think, in family life as much as anything else.
Yeah, I suppose really since then we've come into the age of the computer, and a lot of kids now spend most of their spare time on computers rather than probably, as they would have done in your time, sure, on keyboards and that, yeah. Now, you seem to have found a kind of a niche market in a lot of your work now is for the dance festival scenes and private dances. Did you actively set out to go into that, or was it an accidental sort of thing?
When I started off, like a lot of the players at the time, I was looking to gain experience in a good many avenues to try and develop the business. So I started off doing a little bit of agency work, backing singers in the clubs, the cabaret, doing a few concerts. And one night, purely by accident, I got dropped into a dance by an agency, and having then experienced that, I was a little bit rough around the edges, but having got into it, I felt that that could possibly have been an avenue that was worth exploring, so we looked into it and I started to develop more clubs and got into the dance world, and now it sort of stems, I suppose, to be my main work, really. I still do a lot of concerts as well and teaching, but the dancing is the main part of my living. And there's a lot of work out there, particularly if you're into ballroom dancing, sequence dancing, all time, you know, there's lots of avenues within the dance world. So, yeah, the musical requirements for dancing and for just general concert playing are quite different. It's a disciplined approach as much as anything, from regard to the tempo, the type of tunes you're selecting, even the number of bars of music you're playing. So you've got to really just prepare the music very carefully so all the avenues are covered regarding the things you pick to make it danceable.
You have your own pupils as well now, don't you?
Yeah, I do have my own studio, and I teach mainly keyboard, organ, piano and some music theory. I've got about 30 pupils, so that keeps me active amongst the playing, so it's great, yeah.
What do you think was the magic of those early days when we used to do Morecambe and yourself, you came over to Spain and played out in there? What do you think the magic was to them?
Magic to me was the size of the audiences. Morecambe was 1,500 people. Yeah. It was incredible. All the artists were there. A lot of them stayed for most of the week, so we could pick the brains of the best and just engage in being with them. And the atmosphere that created amongst the audience and the players alike was incredible. And the stage shows were so spectacular, the lighting, the presentation, just everything about it was unique.
That's right.
Grow up in that environment, for me, was magical. It still is. Yeah. I still love it.
Nowadays, a lot of the festivals that you're doing, of course, are those which you're doing with your mum and dad, and they've proven to be very, very successful, aren't they, with the AOE?
Yes, yeah, we're doing very well. It's much smaller these days for us. We're just running in a hotel that takes around 80 people, but the atmosphere is still very much the same. It's a smaller group, but we absolutely love presenting them, and it's lovely to pull our association together, get people together who all have a common interest in music and love the company of each other. And it's a really, really pleasant week, pleasant time to spend with them.
Let's go into bringing the story right up to date now. You've just produced a new record, a dance sequence record. Tell us a little bit about that. Mm. How did it come about?
Yeah, over the years, I've produced a number of CDs, both for concerts and dancing, and I've recorded with one or two of the labels. And I was playing at a dance holiday, an old-time dance holiday, and the two people who run Savoy Records, David and Wendy Griffiths, were there dancing. and I was approached by them to record this latest recording, which is a specialist one. It's called Take Your Partners, but a lot of it is traditional old-time music, which there's not a great amount of music out there on record, so they were particularly keen for me to record this album for them, so I was only too happy to accept.
Well, we're going to include one in the show this month. Which one would you like us to use?
Well, I did a nice bit of lively Jimmy Shand-style music on a couple of the tracks, and one of those in particular is the Dancing Dustman, which is a nice lively melody.
David, thanks very much for talking to me. Thank you. We'll hope to see you again sometime.
That'd be lovely. Thank you very much.
Reviving memories of the days of Jimmy Shand and his band, that was David Ingley playing the Dancing Dustman on his Technics organ. And it's taken from his CD titled, appropriately enough, Take Your Partners, and it's on the Savoy label, and details of it are on our video screen. And if you'd like to know more about the festival staged by the Association of Organ Enthusiasts, then please do give Chairman George Ingley a ring on 01384 274 500. 01384 274 500. Now, one of the things that David touched on in that interview was the opportunity for youngsters to be with and often attend teaching classes presented by some of the big names of those days. There was none bigger and more willing to freely give of his time and encouragement to any young boy or girl who approached him than the late and sadly missed Brian Rodwell, who passed away some 13 years ago. Brian made some wonderful recordings in his time, and one of the first was at the Wurlitzer organ that used to be in the Paramount Odeon in Leeds. Back in 1978, some 20 years after he last played that organ, he travelled with a group of friends to the Thursford Collection in Norfolk, where the organ remains to this day, and for a very brief period prior to the audience coming in, he renewed his acquaintance with this lovely Wurlitzer. Misty, played by the man they affectionately called the Governor, Brian Rodwell. It was a private recording sent to me a number of years ago by a Mr. Ken Borer, who I must confess I've lost his contact details. So if anyone knows Ken, I'd be delighted if they'd ask him to get in touch with me again.
Organ music at its best on the internet with Organ First Radio.
The Internet YouTube webpage has never ceased to be an amazing source of weird, wonderful and wacky postings, but every so often you drop onto something rather special. Earlier in the year I began to enjoy some Versi organ recordings by a young German lad by the name of Florian Hutter. Seems I'm not alone, because a listener to this programme, Alan Brettwood, is a friend of his, and he's asked me to include something in the show. Very little is known about Florian, except to say that he's 17 years of age, clearly very talented, and makes no denial of his love for the sound and style of the late Klaus Funderlich, as this next item proves.
Bye.
the street where you live, played live at a Versi organ convention a few weeks ago by 17-year-old Florian Hutter, a very talented German player who I can see a great future for. Hopefully there'll be a chance to hear some more of his playing in future editions of these shows. Now, in the past few programmes, I've been giving airtime to a brand new double CD featuring Ken Griffin, which has recently proved to be a huge seller for the Jasmine Record Company. I'm not a betting man, but if I were, and someone played me this next item, I'd put my money on it being another Ken Griffin track. Novelty number titled Chicory Chick, played, I assure you, not by Ken Griffin, but by Eric Larson. Okay, who is Eric Larson, I hear you ask? Well, the short answer is that he comes from Ipswich in Boston, USA, and until he retired a couple or so years ago, worked in a power station. Apart from being a very good player and composer, he regularly plays in a nearby roller rink, no doubt playing the kind of music you've just heard, which, let's face it, millions of skaters have been enjoying via the many recordings that the late Ken Griffin produced. Eric Larson has studied the Griffin style of playing, and many of the 2,000, yes, 2,000 tracks that he's already recorded feature one of the two famous pearlized finished Hammond organs that Ken once owned. Now, Ken didn't always use a Hammond, and Eric Larson has even managed to obtain the now somewhat dated sound that Ken used when he recorded on some very early Wurlitzer Electrosonic organs, a model that he also owns. The other one. almost exact copy of the Ken Griffin recording of Dream, played on a Wurlitzer Electrosonic organ by Eric Larson. It amazes me that with all the interest in Ken Griffin's recordings, that no record label has yet shown an interest in this very talented musician. My thanks to Bill Reid of the Ken Griffin Organ Society for sending me some tracks of Eric for the show. One last thing about Eric, if you want to know anything about the technical side of the Hammond and Wurlitzer models, then just go to www.keyboardnews.com and follow the links. Alternatively, if you want to read many fascinating things about the legendary Ken Griffin himself, then just Google in Ken Griffin Memorial Page, and there you have it. Sometime this month should see that great organist Tony Fenelon making some appearances in the UK for Roland Keyboards and Organs. But for the next few minutes, let's enjoy him playing the four-manual 25-rank Wurlitzer in the Capri Theatre, Adelaide, Australia, with a delightful ballad titled Please Don't Ask Me. Please Don't Ask Me, played by Tony Fenelon on Wurlitzer organ, with the piano dubbed on in his home some 400 miles away from the location of the organ, which was the Capri Theatre in Adelaide. The ballad was originally recorded by John Farnham, who was born in Essex but emigrated to Australia back in 1959 and is now something of a highly rated star down under, appearing in his own shows with legends such as Tom Jones and Olivia Newton-John.
You're listening to Great Organs and Organists with Alan Ashton on Organ First Radio.
Time to slip in a quick request this month, especially for Martin Victor, who I first met when he filmed one of the organ festivals staged by Cled Griffin. Martin says that many years ago he had some recordings of Ina Barga, but as the years have gone by, they got past the playing stage and are now in one of the local waste tips. Happily, my copies are still playable, so let's enjoy the two sides of Ina Barga, because this famous lady organist was equally at home on pipes or electronics. Firstly on Hammond, here's Ina with Bemtivia Trivido, and then on theatre organ with one of her own compositions, Champagne for Two. Thank you. Tivia Trevido and Champagne for Two, both played by Ina Barga, the first on Hammond with Eric Howell on percussion, and the second on the Wurlitzer that for many years was in Buckingham Town Hall. When it comes to pinning a particular style of playing on organist Howard Beaumont, it's nigh on impossible to do so. He seems to be able to turn his talented hands and feet to just about any sort of music, no matter whether it's performed on pipes or electronics. His latest recording finds him in the company of Lee Adams on drums and Gary Gillett on jazz guitar. The venue was the Cask Public House for the annual Scarborough Jazz Session. Howard trundled his faithful Hammond A100 and 122 Leslie speaker along to the gathering, and although it was never intended that a CD would result from the occasion, the chance not to do so was too good to ignore. Thank you. Lover Come Back to Me, a track taken from Howard Beaumont's latest CD, and the full details of which can be found on the Organist First web pages. Now, very few theatre organs in the world remain exactly in the locations that they were installed, but happily for the residents of St. Louis, the huge Wurlitzer has been overhauled and still to this day takes pride of place in the magnificently refurbished Fox Theatre. And if there was anyone who could get the best from the organ, then Stan can.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is Stan Can welcoming you to the fabulous Fox Theatre in St. Louis, Missouri, the home of the mighty 36th rank Crawford Special.
Stan Can, the Fox St. Louis, Missouri's very own long-standing resident organist, taking us up to the closing moments of this month's Organ First radio show with the famous Comedian's Gallop by Dmitry Kabalevsky. And there we are. Please keep your requests coming in and I'll do my best to oblige. And so, until our next meeting together in November, this is Alan Ashton, as always, saying bye for now.
Organ First Radio was produced and presented by Alan Ashton, with technical direction by Ian King.